Good morning and welcome to the West Valley News Digest. I'm Karen Kelly, your volunteer reader. Today is Saturday, December 13th. I'll be starting out with news from the West Valley View, which covers Buckeye, Avondale, Goodyear, and Tolleson. I will then be reading from the Wickenburg Sun, and at the bottom of the hour, we'll be covering news from Glendale, Peoria, and Surprise. So let's get started with news from westvalleyview.com. Our first article is Avondale Aquatic Center Sees Huge Success. Article by Sammy Travis. The Avondale Aquatic Center has continued to exceed the city's expectations for the second consecutive year and has announced its plans to continue this trend in 2026 with new hires. Brittany Shervinsky, recreation manager for Avondale, shared in a city council meeting on December 1st that the center saw over 58,000 visitors from April to October this year and generated over $500,000 in revenue for the city over the past 2 years. She said that these figures exceeded what the city set out to accomplish, especially the revenue. In fiscal year 2025, they earned over $301,000 in revenue with a stated goal of just $100,000. The center has a 4.2 out of 5 star rating on Google and a 4.7 out of 5 star rating for its swim lessons. In addition, Shravinsky said room rentals and facility rentals were booked every available weekend this year. The recreation manager also announced that hiring is open as of December 1st for lifeguard and other positions for 2026. She said they hire as young as 15 for some positions and 16 and up for most of the others. She encouraged people to apply, especially young adults and high schoolers. There are great opportunities for a first job out there, and they work really, really well with your school schedule, she said. If you know anyone, make sure you let them know. They will be interviewing at the end of January for training and in February and March for the reopening in April 2026. The center is open from April through October each year. There will be weekends only from April 2026 to May 23rd, 2026. The center first opened in May of 2024. Shervinsky said they have increased their swim lessons and program offerings over the past year. They brought in 2,300 registrations for swim lessons, classes, and teams this past year, up from 1,500 from last year. The center offers classes for babies, young children, teens, and adults. They plan to continue expanding services next year. Shervinsky said they had a team of 64 employees this year with over 20,000 total working hours. All of that would not be possible without our team in green, she said. They're such a phenomenal team, and they're so great to work with. I appreciate them every day. They make it fun to come to work, that's for sure. They've hosted a number of special events, such as WaveFest, Dive-In Movies, and the Arizona Lifeguard Challenge with the Arizona Parks and Recreation Association. They have a number of community relationship and partnerships, such as the Tolleson Union High School District, the Arizona Parks and Recreation Association, the Michael Phelps Foundation, Phoenix Water Polo, Desert Paddleboard, and 7 different food trucks. The center won the 2025 Outstanding Aquatic Program from the APRA for WaveFest. This is their second consecutive year winning an award. Councilmember Tina Condi had high praise for the center's work. Our family absolutely loves going to the Aquatic Center, she said. Every time we're there, the lifeguards are so kind. They do such a great job. Every time we go, we've had a fantastic time, she said. Councilmember Sherry Weiss applauded the center for its safety measures and CPR training for adults, which they held in coordination with the police and fire departments. One of the things that I just love is the fact you guys did programming for parents while the kids were doing the swim lessons. It was life-saving. And I also wanted to thank the fire department and police, she said. You're giving our residents what they deserve, safety, and I just appreciate it. Mayor Mike Pineda only had positive things to say as well. I'm so proud and happy to see that many of our residents are utilizing the facility, he said. I'm just all around happy with this amenity and look forward to more and more usage. He encouraged people to apply. I am definitely not opposed to shameless plugs of hiring new lifeguards, especially as first jobs, he said with a chuckle. If anyone knows anybody who's interested, make sure they contact Parks and Rec. And this concludes the article entitled, Avondale Aquatic Center Sees Huge Success. Next up, Buckeye Plans New On-Demand Transit Vans, written by Sammy Travis. The City of Buckeye announced future plans for a new on-demand transit system for vans, as well as future transit opportunities. John Willett, Deputy Director of Transportation, explained the new plan for the city. They will have two city vans with dedicated drivers. Residents will be able to schedule a ride, where they will be then picked up and brought to their location. It's very similar to Uber, where you get picked up at your house and dropped off at your destination. But city services will be doing it using the vans that we have, he said. We are not going to require people to walk to a bus stop to get picked up. Users will have to schedule each appointment 2 days, 48 hours, in advance. The city is still working on specific details. They estimate the fare will be between $1 to $3 for a one-way trip. Miranda Gomez, Community Services Director, said that hours of operation will likely be around 7 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. She said the city aims to have the program ready by the summer of 2026. She also said that the 48-hour scheduling may be flexible. We'll see what our use looks like, she said. If our whole day is not full, then we'll take same-day reservations if they come our way. We'll fill our schedules as best we can. These will be minivans built for up to a few riders at a time. If there are multiple people going to the same place, Willett said, they will try to pick them all up in the same ride. In a city council meeting on December 2nd, the city approved funding for two new vans, ride scheduling software, a transit mobility manager, and a few dedicated drivers. The vans and software have already been purchased, and the manager, transit coordinator, has begun ironing out the details. Willett also said that the city is working on future long-term transit plans, such as considering a bigger microtransit service or partnership and expanding Valley Metro access. This is an update to the city's transit master plan developed in 2016 by the Maricopa Association of Governments. The city used official reviews and surveys from residents to determine what transit policy works best. Willett said that the program is worth it for the city, even though it will likely not make much money. We've been taking the approach that this is just like a library service or a park service. It's something the city needs to fund. It's a service we provide to our residents, said the Deputy Director of Transportation. Gomez said they consider this to be their pilot program. In other words, testing the waters to see if this works. She said that the city will release more information when they have it and will point residents on where to find it. We'll have very easy places to direct them. They just have yet to be built, she said. We'll learn some things for sure over the next for the first few months. Vice Mayor Craig Hustis and Councilmember Clay Goodman asked clarification questions about the program. Goodman was voted in as the new vice mayor at the end of the meeting. He was nominated by Hustis. And this concludes the article. Buckeye plans new on-demand transit vans. Our next article is Coyote Cruisers Bring Secret Santa to Avondale's Kids, article by Joshua Fenty. About 30 years ago, Coyote Cruisers founder Bill Bartell aimed to help a little boy named Christopher, who was suffering from leukemia, and his family couldn't afford his treatments at St. Joseph's Hospital. Bartell had his wife give his phone number to Christopher's grandmother and later hosted a two-day car show that raised $9,000 for the child's operation. Unfortunately, the boy did not survive, but the experience, Bartell said, inspired him to keep helping children in need. The show is about less fortunate children, he said. Every kid should have something for Christmas, and I know some of the families around here can't do it. On Sunday, December 14th, Coyote Cruisers, in partnership with the Avondale Fire Department, will host the Secret Santa Society Car Show at Sam's Club. The event will feature 50s, 60s, and 70s music spun by live DJs, as well as raffles, awards, dash plaques, and other activities and prizes. Many of the vehicles that tend to be featured at the show, according to Bartell, include a 39 Plymouth pickups, vintage Chevy Camaros, as well as various hot rods, Fords, Chryslers, and more recently, Volkswagens. For entry to the event, the organization asks that attendees bring one new unwrapped toy or four non-perishable food items along with $10 to benefit the Awafria Food Bank. While the toys go to Avondale Fire Department for distribution. Bartell said that the firefighters wrap the presents for the kids prior to giving them away as well. Though the event begins at 11 a.m., patrons who would like to enter a car into the show should arrive for registration at 9:30 a.m. The registration form can be printed out from the Coyote Cruisers website, which is coyotecruisers.az.org. Bartell said that since this event's inception, the community in Avondale has shown great dedication to supporting the kids. He mentioned that he used to partner with a gentleman who refurbished bikes for the kids. At first, I was new and didn't really know what I was doing, the founder said. The help of friends guided me through. In the cruiser's early days, he said, the car shows featured between 70 to 80 cars compared to today, where it sees 312 cars and similar numbers. The longer it goes on, it seems like the more the car clubs pay more attention, Bartell said. The organization recently visited White Tank Customer and Classic, where Bartell said the president of the club promised them a minimum of 6 cars from our club. Beyond the Secret Santa Society Car Show, Coyote Cruisers hosts and supports various events throughout the year to support the community's children, including the 43rd annual Toys for Tots event in Wickenburg on December 7th. According to Bartell, Coyote Cruisers has partnered with the Make-A-Wish Foundation for many years. The organization said on its website that Bartell and the Coyote Cruisers raised $27,000 annually to benefit its cause. Bartell said that helping children in need has always been at the heart of his mission. Now 80 years old, he said he hopes to work with the Cruisers for years to come, but is looking to his team members, Larry and Amanda, to accept the torch. The founder said that the car community has always been very supportive of his efforts. I figure I'm going to do another 5 to 10 years, but I'm trying to get Larry and Amanda to take over, he said. In the past 35 years, we've learned a thing or two, and I'll tell you what, 95% of car enthusiasts are generous people. And this concludes the article entitled, Coyote Cruisers Bring Secret Santa to Avondale's Kids. And our next article is AFUHSD Honors National Merit Scholars. This is a special to the West Valley View. In celebration of academic achievement, the Awafria Union High School District has recognized its National Merit Scholars through the Superintendent's Academic Superstars Program, which highlights students who demonstrate strong academic performance and leadership. The Superintendent's Academic Superstars Program is a district-wide initiative that honors students who meet those standards. This year's honorees are Celicia Nunez, Desert Edge High School. Nunez has participated in the Asian American Student Association, Cross Country, the Physics Club, and the National Honor Society. She graduated earlier this year based on her academic progress. Emerson Cohen, Verado High School. Cohen has received multiple academic and artistic distinctions, including the Hispanic Recognition Award and the Rural and Small Town Recognition Award for PSAT performance, as well as the John Philip Sousa Award for Music. She is woodwind captain in the Viper Vanguard Marching Band, participates in the Verado Theater Program and Show Choir, and is a member of the National Honor Society and the Senior to Senior Community Engagement Program. I am happy to be recognized because it takes a lot of energy and discipline to show up every day when you have so many commitments, Cohen said. Superintendent Mark Eastless recognized the students for their performance in the National Merit Program, noting that the distinction reflects years of academic work supported by the district's learning environment. To qualify for National Merit, students take the PSAT during their junior year, which serves as an initial screen of program entrance. However, students can take the PSAT test early during their freshman and sophomore years to prepare for the qualifying PSAT in their junior year, the superintendent said. Our scholars represent less than 1% of U.S. high school seniors, including the highest scoring entrants in each state. In September 2026, more than two-thirds, about 34,000, of high scores nationwide will be designated commended students based on a national selection index qualifying score that may vary each year. NMSC will send letters of commendation to these students through their high schools. Commended students do not continue in the National Merit Scholarship competition, though some may be eligible for these special scholarships offered by corporate sponsors. NMSC will notify candidates in November 2026. These students represent the top 50,000 program entrants. Celicia and Emerson represent the commitment to academics we see across Awafria, the superintendent said. Their success in the National Merit Program reflects their work, their families, support, and the efforts of educators throughout the district. And this concludes the article entitled AFU-HSD Honors NH Merit Scholars. That concludes news from westvalleyview.com. If you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org/broadcast info and audio/on demand. Now let's move on to news from the Wickenburg Sun. Our first article is Council Approves Extension of Two Airport Land Leases. Article by Taylor Schwartz Olson. Two leaseholders at the Wickenburg Municipal Airport have been granted lease extensions, with one set to last just 90 days until further negotiations take place, and the other to be in effect until 2047. Both approvals were given by the Town Council during the December 1st meeting. The first agreement with Master Aircraft Service Incorporated was pulled from the consent agenda and passed by a vote of 6-0, with Councilmember Rebecca Roby recusing herself. A 90-day extension was granted, pushing the airport property lease past the December 30th expiration to allow for new lease terms to be negotiated. The airport property lease agreement with Master Aircraft Services Incorporated was entered into in August of 2019, and a renewal was approved in January of 2021 with the ability for 4 additional one-year terms that could be approved by the town manager. Additionally, the town approved a 20-year lease extension with Quad Air LLC. The lease dates back to 2004 and is for property at the municipal airport for the construction and use of an aircraft hangar. The tenant has elected to exercise its option to renew the lease for 1 additional 20-year term. Town staff have met with representatives of Quad Air and negotiated a new lease extension. The council went into executive session to discuss the issue further and returned for a 6-0 vote to approve the extension. Rovi once again recused herself from the vote. Under the amendment, the agreement will expire on December 31st, 2047, with no further option to renew. Section 5 of the lease states that rent may be adjusted periodically to reflect changes in market conditions. However, no rent adjustment occurred during the initial 20-year term of the lease. Numerous leases and agreements related to Wickenburg's airport have come forward in recent months, including discussion of future development. In September, the council narrowly voted 4-3 to engage in a conversation with company Volaire Hangars about development at the airport. And this concludes the article, Council Approves Extension of 2 Airport Land Leases. Our next article, 2026 Desert Adventure Tours Start January 13th. Article by Cesar Chavez. The DCWM Desert Adventure Tours return in 2026, each one led by Museum Master Docent Joe Stevens, whose deep knowledge of the region brings every landscape and landmark to life. All tours meet in the main museum lobby on Frontier Street at 9 a.m. Dutch Oven Cooking meets at the Cultural Crossroads Learning Center on Tegner Street. The season begins on Tuesday, January 13th, with Guest Ranch Tour No. 1, a nostalgic journey through Wickenburg's iconic guest ranches. Travelers will explore historic stops that may include the Hacienda River Preserve, Simpson Ranch, Remuda Ranch, Monte Vista Ranch, K.L. Bar Ranch, Flying E Ranch, and Rancho de los Caballeros, where lunch is included. Transportation is provided and the group returns to the museum around 3 p.m. Due to high demand, Guest Ranch Tour No. 2 follows on Monday, February 9th, offering the same popular route and concluding again at approximately 3 p.m. with transportation and lunch at Rancho de los Caballeros included. On Monday, February 25th, the focus shifts to the region's haunting past with a ghost towns tour. After a brief orientation at the museum at 9 a.m., participants will visit Octave Stanton, the old Congress town site and cemetery, and the Garcia Cemetery, returning to Wickenburg by mid-afternoon. This tour requires participants to drive themselves and purchase their own lunch in Congress. Saturday, March 7th, brings an adventurous trek along Constellation Road, exploring Sayre Station, the town of Constellation, Gold Bar, and Monte Cristo. This journey involves rugged terrain, moderate walking, and requires participants to self-drive in their own four-wheel drive vehicles. Lunch is provided. The series concludes on Thursday, March 19th, with a Dutch oven cooking experience that blends history and hands-on learning. Participants prepare a meal alongside award-winning Dutch oven cook Mark Dutch Wilkins in the courtyard of the museum's Cultural Crossroads Learning Center, culminating in a hearty lunch they help create. Pre-registration is required for all offerings. Pricing differs for each tour. Call Laura at 928-684-2272 to reserve your adventure, or visit the ticketing site at mercantile.westernmuseum.org/events.aspx. And this concludes the article, 2026 Desert Adventure Tours Start January 13th. Next up, obituaries. Barbara Jo Dunham Lopez passed away November 27th. Next up is Around Town. And we're looking at Mrs. Claus visits Storytime at the Wickenburg Library. The Wickenburg Public Library is kicking off the holiday season with a magical visit from Mrs. Claus herself. Families are invited to join on December 17th from 10 a.m. to 10:45 a.m. for a festive and heartwarming special story time with Mrs. Claus, held at the library at 164 East Apache Street. She's charming, full of holiday cheer, and the most delightful 500-year-old you'll ever meet, Mrs. Santa Claus. With her warm smile, twinkling eyes, and signature North Pole magic, Mrs. Claus will bring the joy of the season to life through enchanting tales, lively storytelling, and plenty of Christmas spirit. Children and families will have the chance to meet Santa's better half and enjoy a cozy, memorable experience perfect for all ages. Don't miss this opportunity to celebrate the season in true holiday style. This special event is free and open to the public. For more information, contact the Town of Wickenburg Recreation Department at 928-668-0521. And we'll finish up with This Week in Wickenburg History. 70 years ago, December 9th, 1955, W.H. Moore's buying Pappy's from Davenport. Mr. and Mrs. Wilfred H. Moore are negotiating for the purchase of Pappy's Pepperwood Canyon Supper Club on the Phoenix Highway from Mr. and Mrs. Burt Davenport. Mr. Moore has had more than 8 years of experience in cooking for the public. He and Mrs. Moore came here from Everett, Washington, more than a year ago. The Davenports have operated Pappy's for the past 5 years and are widely known throughout this area. 60 years ago, December 9th, 1965, Market opens in Stage Stop Shopping Center. A new store for Wickenburg will be opened January 1st in the Stage Stop Shopping Center on Whipple Street. It will be an Associated Grocers PDQ market, a convenience type of market operating 7 days a week. Shannon's Frontier Market in Wickenburg is also affiliated with Associated Grocers, a statewide organization of independent home-owned supermarkets. 20 years ago, December 7, 2005, resort request on P&Z agenda. The major plan amendment request to help pave the way for a 227-acre, five-star destination resort at the southeast part of town will be open for public comment when the Wickenburg Planning and Zoning Commission meets next week. The conceptual plan for the multi-use resort, located south of the America Lynn Motel, has been submitted to the town of Wickenburg. The proposed project, identified as the Emerald Canyons at the Calamity Wash Project, will consist of a resort, casitas, patio homes, townhomes, estate lots, a nine-hole executive golf course, and open space. And this concludes the This Week in Wickenburg History. And that's all the time we have for the Wickenburg Sun. I'm Karen Kelly, and you're listening to the West Valley News Digest on Sun Sounds of Arizona. You can take Sun Sounds with you. You can get our stream and on demand on our new Sun Sounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android phones. For the remaining time, we'll be reading news from the Glendale and Peoria and Surprise from yourvalley.net, as well as the online editions of the Glendale, Peoria, Surprise Independence, the Glendale Star, and Peoria Times. So let's continue. First up, Santa Hustle waits at starting line in Westgate at Glendale. Santa Hustle Arizona is back for the season in Glendale. This festive race series transforms Westgate Entertainment District into a holiday wonderland with candy and cookies along the course, Christmas decor, and holiday music to keep spirits bright. It will be the morning of Sunday, December 14th, at the Water Dance Plaza in Westgate Entertainment District, 6751 North Sunset Boulevard in Glendale. The schedule of events is as follows. Kids Dash, 7:30 a.m. Half Marathon, 8 a.m. 10K and 5K, 8:15 a.m. Guests can celebrate the season with family and friends while supporting a worthy cause. Proceeds benefit Glendale Firefighters Charities. For information about the event, visit westgateaz.com/event/Santa-Hustle. More seasonal fun is available every day at Skate Westgate. The ice rink is open from noon to 8:45 on the 14th and opens at 4 p.m. on weekdays. Skate Westgate will be offered daily through January 12th at the Fountain Park. And this concludes the article, Santa Hustle Waits at Starting Line in Westgate at Glendale. The next article is Jasmine's Journey Inspires Pickleball Fundraiser in Glendale. The public can join Jasmine's Journey from 6 to 9 p.m. Wednesday, December 17th at Chicken and Pickle, 9330 West Hannah Lane, Glendale, for a night of pickleball, purpose, and local impact. This year's Birthday Bash Pickleball Tournament includes professional pickleball star Andre Deschaux as the honorary chair. He returns as a supporter of the mission to fund pediatric cancer research and assist families navigating childhood cancer. Deschaux is offering a chance to win a one-on-one lesson for those who register before Tuesday, December 16th. The event honors the memory of Jasmine Ryder, who would have celebrated her 7th birthday this year. The event includes the national anthem performed by local singer Ariel Franz, pickleball matches, vendor booths, and a silent auction featuring exclusive pickleball gear, local dining packages, hotel stays, and other premium prizes. Jasmine's life and ongoing impact in the community will be celebrated with a special birthday celebration during the event. Being surrounded by so many wonderful people as we celebrate Jasmine's birthday means the world to me, stated Amber Ryder, Jasmine's mom, and co-founder of Jasmine's Journey in a press release. The Phoenix community and the pickleball community from around the country have been amazing in supporting our event and overall mission. I can't wait to celebrate alongside our fantastic sponsors, players, and supporters. Knowing that Jasmine's memory lives on and we are able to help so many people in her honor helps make this day even more special. The team entry fee is $60 per team of two. Players, supporters, and sponsors can register or donate today at Jasmine's, and that's Jazmines, journey.com. And this concludes the article, Jasmine's Journey Inspires Pickleball Fundraiser in Glendale. Our next article, Peoria Unified Board to Look at Minimum Wage Increase, written by Philip Haldeman. The Peoria Unifying Governing Board at its December 10th public meeting would consider complying raising the classified employee pay and hourly special assignment schedule based on Arizona's upcoming minimum wage increase. Effective January 1st, Arizona's minimum wage will increase from $14.70 to $15.15 per hour. To comply with this change, Peoria Unified School District, through governing board approval, will raise the classified starting wage as well as wages for student workers and auxiliary workers in the hourly special assignment schedule. This adjustment will result in pay increases for 41 employees in non-exempt Classification 5 and hundreds of staff who provide hourly special assignment support. During the December 10th meeting, the board also considered revising the policy on student use of wireless communication devices. The governing board on July 9th adopted the policy, and at the December 10th meeting will consider revising it to include pre-K students, thereby ensuring consistency with the guidelines currently established for K to 8 students. And this concludes the article, Peoria Unified Board to Look at Minimum Wage Increase. Our next article, Peoria reminds residents to keep drains fog-free this holiday season. Holiday cooking means delicious meals, but it can also mean trouble for your pipes. Fats, oils, and grease, fog, from roasts, gravies, and frying can build up in household plumbing and the city's sewer system, causing backups and costly clogs. Keep your drains clear and clean with these tips. Pour cooled fats, grease, and oil into a covered container, then dispose at the next household hazardous waste collection. Soak up spills with paper towels or kitty litter, then throw in the trash. Use a sink strainer to catch food scrapes and empty it into the garbage, not the drain. And this concludes the article, Peoria reminds residents to keep drains fog-free this holiday season. Our next article, surprise police shoot man with knife outside home. Article by Jason Stone. The Goodyear Police Department will lead the investigation into Thursday morning's officer-involved shooting in Surprise. A Surprise police officer shot a man allegedly armed with a knife in the middle of a neighborhood street near 151st Avenue and West Cactus Road. Police spokesperson Rick Hernandez said officers were called to the neighborhood at 6:30 a.m. after getting a 911 call about a man with a knife. In a media briefing about 3 hours after the incident, Hernandez said the man was shot after he refused the police request to drop the knife. Our next article, Glendale raises legal tobacco product age. Article by Joshua Fenty. Glendale City Council recently voted unanimously to raise the legal minimum age for purchasing tobacco products such as vapes and beedies. The decision follows federal law, which currently prohibits the sale of such items to individuals under 21 years of age. Mayor Jerry Wires explained that the purpose of the ordinance was to ensure the city's law corresponded with the state and federal laws regarding the sale of tobacco products. "Basically, we're agreeing with the state and federal government on this," he said, looking to Deputy City Manager Rick St. John for confirmation. "We're just getting our language to where everything matches to keep us out of trouble when we prosecute." Following the adoption of the new ordinance, retailers that carry products with tobacco and tobacco-related products are required by law to check for valid identification to prove the customer is 21 years old or older. Individuals who knowingly sell such items to an individual under the age of 21 will be considered guilty of a petty offense. Buying or possessing tobacco products when younger than the legal age will result in a $100 fine or a minimum of 30 hours of community service. Lying about one's age or using a fake ID to obtain tobacco products will be considered a petty offense and result in a maximum fine of $500. Additionally, the sale of beedies to an individual who is younger than 21 years of age will result in a Class 3 misdemeanor charge. along with the potential consequences and criminal charges associated with tobacco product sales. The ordinance also outlines some exceptions on the age restriction. Within the context of legitimate religious practice, the use of various tobacco products is permitted, as well as if the individual younger than 21 received the item as a gift with no intention to use it. The ordinance outlines explicit definitions for various tobacco and tobacco-related products. According to the ordinance, included in the staff document, tobacco products include cigars, cigarettes, cigarette papers, smoking tobacco, and chewing tobacco. Bidis is tobacco wrapped in a timburny or tendu leaf, as well as any product marketed and sold as bidis. Shisha is any mixture of tobacco leaf and honey, molasses, dried fruit, or other sweeteners. Finally, vapor products cover non-combustible tobacco-derived products containing nicotine that employs a mechanical heating element, battery, or circuit, regardless of shape or size, that can be used to heat a liquid nicotine solution contained in cartridges. In 2019, former President Joe Biden signed legislation which amended the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act and raised the legal age for purchasing tobacco products from 18 to 21 countrywide. The Food and Drug Administration produced the final ruling in 2024. Additionally, the Arizona State House of Representatives followed suit, signing the age adjustment into law this year in June to take effect in September. Despite action from the federal and state governments, various cities across the valleys have yet to issue an ordinance to change their tobacco product laws. Prior to the November 25th City Council meeting, Tempe was the only city to do so and additionally requires retailers to obtain a tobacco seller's license from the city. According to the staff report on the agenda item, the Glendale community benefits when city code is aligned with federal and state laws, providing clarity and consistency with enforcement. Glendale resident and Sounds of Autism Executive Director Jamie Aldama spoke, thanking the council and other city leaders and officials for addressing the issue. Mayor, we are here to thank you for bringing this to council today, and we're hoping that you would pass this ordinance, he said. We know it's another tool for your police officers to go out and prohibit sale of underage vape products to our kids. This is an epidemic in the West Valley, in your backyard, and we hope you will consider passing this ordinance. And this concludes the article, Glendale Raises Legal Tobacco Product Age. Our next article is two Arizona nonprofits joined forces for Mothers in Crisis, special to the Peoria Times. One in four Arizona families are led by single mothers, and nearly half of new moms skip postpartum medical visits because of barriers such as cost, transportation, and childcare. To help address those gaps, two Arizona nonprofits, Mother's Grace and Hope Women's Center, have launched a partnership aimed at guiding mothers from crisis to long-term stability. Mother's Grace, founded by Michelle Moore, focuses on immediate support for mothers facing medical, financial, or other emergencies. Hope Women's Center provides longer-term services, which CEO Tammy Abernathy describes as a long walk beside women who often feel utterly alone. This partnership represents the best of what can happen when two missions align, Abernathy said. Mother's Grace meets moms in the middle of their storms, and Hope Women's Center helps them step into the calm afterward through mentoring, education, counseling, and community. The collaboration includes several joint initiatives designed to meet both emotional and practical needs. Mother's Grace will now provide individual grant support to mothers beginning programs at Hope Women's Center. The organizations are also launching a December holiday event for 25 women that will feature a catered meal, gifts, and access to Hope's Christmas boutique. Additional wraparound services include financial relief, job training, mentoring, counseling, and ongoing material assistance. The need is growing. Last year, Hope Women's Center served more than 2,200 women and teen girls, the most in its 40-year history, and nearly 30% more than the previous year. Mother's Grace has supported more than 3,000 families through partnerships with 33 organizations on three continents, while keeping 85% of its funding focused in Arizona. For women like Shanti, who turned to Mother's Grace during a crisis and later enrolled in Hope Women's Center programs, the partnership has been essential. Mother's Grace carried me through when I was broken, and Hope Women's Center is teaching me how to stand tall again, she said. Moore said the partnership strengthens her organization's mission. We have always stepped in during the darkest moments, she said. By partnering with Hope Women's Center, we can now help ensure those moments become the foundation for lifelong transformation. The organizations expect to serve between 150 and 500 mothers each year through the joint effort. The holiday program will launch in December. Community members can support the partnership by donating, volunteering, attending events, or contributing items for Hope's Christmas Boutique. More information is available at mothers-grace.org and hopewomenscenter.org. And this concludes the article, Two Arizona Nonprofits Join Forces for Mothers in Crisis. Our next article, Two Peoria Actors Appear in ABT's A Christmas Story, written by Laura Latsko, Peoria Times staff writer. Since it was released in 1983, the film A Christmas Story has become part of many families' holiday traditions. The movie has many iconic scenes that fans remember, with Ralphie's pink bunny onesie, the fragile leg lamp, Randy's snowsuit, the triple dog dare, the frightening Santa, and the "you'll shoot your eye out" catchphrase. Arizona Broadway Theater will put on A Christmas Story, the musical, through Sunday, December 28th. The musical is a reimagined version of the film, with a book from Joseph Robinette and a score from Benj Pasek and Justin Paul, the songwriting duo for Dear Evan Hansen, La La Land, and The Greatest Showman. Set in 1940s Indiana, the show tells the story of Ralphie, a boy who dreams of getting a Red Ryder BB gun for Christmas. He must face schoolyard drama, bullies, and his peculiar family during the eventful Christmas season. The show, which seeks to capture the nostalgia, innocence, chaos, and magic of the holidays, features musical numbers such as A Major Award, Just Like That, Red Ryder Carbine Action BB Gun, and You'll Shoot Your Eye Out. The cast is made up of out-of-state and local performers who are accompanied by a live orchestra. The children's parts are double cast with local youth. There are over 20 youth actors in the show. Many of them are 11 to 14 years old. Two young actors from Peoria, Kinley Stratton and McKenna White, are both playing Esther Jane, one of Ralphie's classmates. Kinley, 12 years old, attends Basis Charter School in Peoria. McKenna, age 13, goes to Park Ridge Elementary School. The two actresses often carpool together. They were both in TheaterWorks' production of Disney's The Lion King Jr. As part of a Matilda Jr. Academy at Arizona Broadway, Kinley played Matilda and McKenna was Miss Honey. McKenna and Kinley work together to flesh out their character. She doesn't talk much, but when she does, she always says important things, and it's always to help other people. It's fun to play a role that's not really like me. She's a little bit shyer and quieter, Kinley said. Kinley appears in different numbers in the show, including a major award. She and other youth actors dance with mini leg lamps. We run on and we do leg lamp choreography. We're lifting them and doing turns with leg lamps. I love the leg lamps, but I always get scared that I'm going to break the lamps. We're doing this fast choreography, and the shades also shake a bit. It always stresses me out, Kinley said. During the iconic scene where Flick gets his tongue stuck to a frozen flagpole, Esther Jane is the one that informs the teacher. No one's gonna tattle. All of a sudden, I raise my hand and I point outside. Flick is outside, flailing his arms around, stuck to a pole. I point him out to Miss Shields, Kinley said. In the Santa scene, the kids go down a slide. I've fallen flat on my butt once or twice on that slide, Kinley said. Prior to doing the show, Kinley had watched the 2017 film A Christmas Story live. The humor in the show appealed to her. Kinley said the show has a lot of heartfelt moments and is relatable to different age groups. There's underlying themes of standing up for yourself and finding the best things where you least expect it, Kinley said. With Arizona Broadway, Stratton has also played Susan Waverly in White Christmas, been in the Sea Chorus for The Little Mermaid, and has been part of the Lollipop Guild in The Wizard of Oz. White Christmas was her first paid booking. I was one of two kids in the entire cast, and we alternated shows as Susan Waverly. It was really good to get to know all the adults and just learn from them and get to know what their lives were. They were professional actors that flew in from New York to be in this production, Kinley said. Kinley is part of the High Riv performance troupe at Arizona Broadway. They will be going to Disneyland next year. Kinley has also worked with Starlight Community Theater, Almost Famous Theater Company, and Arizona Theater Company. A turning point for her was at 8 years old when she played Amanda Thripp in Matilda at Theater Works. For this role, she was thrown around by her ponytails. Kinley said doing this show really affirmed her love of performing. And that's all the time we have for the article, Two Peoria Actors Appeal in ABT's A Christmas Story. And let's finish up with our last article, Finding the Holiday Spirit in Traditions Old and New, article by Judy Bloom. There are only a few weeks of shopping left, so what are we to do? Stop spending money and start kissing. Perhaps we could linger under mistletoe with someone special. That ancient Scandinavian goddess of love, Frigga, might be considered the instigator behind this kissing tradition. She evidently was so enthralled with the secret powers of what would happen when a couple stood under the mistletoe that it was almost considered scandalous. Christian priests banned hanging mistletoe due to its adulterous association, and it was considered a pagan ritual to be avoided. Hence, holly replaced mistletoe until gradually romance kissing prevailed. Have you ever wondered why you might have a tree in your house during the holidays? The Germans in 700 AD started this tradition, picked up by the English and Americans in the 1800s. In 1880, Woolworth's drugstores sold the first manufactured Christmas ornaments in the world, and they were a huge hit. It was better and safer than the centuries-old tradition of placing lighted candles on the tree. At the turn of the century, the first electric lights were designed especially for evergreens, and since then, no tree has been complete without strings of lights. Today in America, 80% of all households will display a tree, and the vast majority are artificial. Yes, there really is a Santa Claus. That question posed by those skeptics and Scrooges has been answered eloquently numerous times. Santa is the distant relative of the 4th century saint, Saint Nicholas. His giving spirit and magical ways have become legend and gladdens the hearts of children all over the world. no population explosion, lack of chimneys, remote locations, inclement weather, or other obstacles can stop him from making an annual appearance. We are reminded that Christmas is the celebration of the birth of one small baby that changed the world. Born into treacherous times, wars, poverty, a madman as king, the true King of Kings was the miracle of hope, causing the heavens to open, a star to shine brightly, and the world to gasp slightly in anticipation. And so here we are, thousands of years later, hanging stars or angels at the top of our trees. We light a candle on Christmas Eve so that wise men may find their way to our home. Not quite ready for the big day? Relax. Now is the time to celebrate the ending of another year. It's never too late to get in the holiday mood. Forget shopping and become a romantic. Be daring and hang some fresh mistletoe. Believe again for a few weeks in the magic of St. Nicholas, the spirit of giving, the birth of greatness, the beauty of a lit tree, and the wonder of all things kind and good that grace our lives. Don't forget to light a candle. Kiss someone you love. Help someone who is less fortunate. Eat plenty of cookies. Still not in the holiday spirit? You might try putting some spirits into the eggnog. Have a tremendous time decorating. And that concludes the article, Finding the Holiday Spirit in Traditions Old and New. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Remember, you can hear Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device. I thank you for joining me for the West Valley News Digest. I'm Karen Kelly, your Sun Sounds volunteer. Please stay tuned for more great programming on Sun Sounds of Arizona.